Proverbs chapter 1. Brother Bigham is so gracious and so kind. I wanted to say something about the introduction along the lines of the only other person in the world that talks like that knows me is my mother. And he's so gracious, I didn't want to be too sarcastic, but I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about speaking at the meeting, and I said, you know, it's an honor to be asked, and there's a lot more qualified people, and so, you know, to be asked is an honor, and they said, they had to ask you, you're the moderator. So, thank you, Brother Gaddis, for that clarity. And then Brother Hardy was with us a couple of weeks ago and asked me if I was prepared for today. And I told him, I said, you know, I have several ideas that I really want to, avenues I'd like to go down, but I felt like the Lord had put one in my mind and I wasn't real excited about it. And it was this message. And so when Brother King got up here and started preaching, for the first time, I was excited about my message because it went right along with what he was preaching. So then I began to think, well, see, the Lord knows, and he knows how to weave all that together. And so Proverbs chapter 1, if you don't mind standing in honor the reading of God's word, just two verses, and really only going to use a phrase out of the first verse. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Father, I pray that you'd bless the reading and the preaching of this Bible. Lord, I thank you for the messages that we've heard, and certainly we're grateful for the opportunity and privilege of being here already, and I thank you for this church and their willingness to host it and all the work and labor that went into it. And Lord, I pray that as guests that we would communicate our gratitude to them. And then, Father, I pray that you would bless the preaching of this word and this message and clear my mind and allow me to communicate, Lord, what you've laid on my heart. I'd be grateful for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. This message is kind of born out of a struggle that I was having in my own life. And then one day in my personal reading, I came across verse 5, and a wise man will hear that first part of verse 5, and it just stood out. It just arrested my attention and began to think things through, and this is kind of where these thoughts came from. And does anyone else find it extremely irritating when someone cuts into your story or conversation to add their two cents in? You know, you'll say something like, well, me and my wife went to Freddy's the other night, and they butt in and say, well, the last time I went to Freddy's, you know, we ordered this, and they go on their whole story, and honestly, don't really care about your story. It's as if what they had to say was more important than what you were saying. And I suppose we could all be guilty of that, being so full of our own thoughts that we don't really listen to other people. I think it's not only rude, I think it's revealing. Some people want to talk about all their problems. You have these conversations, and so do I. They talk about all their problems with you, and they go on and on and on. And you've had this conversation with them before. No advice is going to be offered because you know they never intend to hear anything. They only want to talk. One of the greatest problems I think we have in our lives is getting over ourselves. We're born with a sinful nature, and part of that nature is self-centeredness. We're naturally self-absorbed. Babies make known their desires from the moment they're born. Toddlers are tyrants unless they're taught different. And if they're not taught different, they turn into angry drivers someday. My car, my lane. It's their world, it's their toy, it's their space, it's their Cheerios. And as we progress in age without some divine intervention, we end up seeking our own our entire lives. What do I want? What do I need? What do I feel? What passion should I fulfill this day or maybe even this moment? We have an account in Isaiah 14 of an angel of the highest order whose name was Lucifer. The responsibilities and abilities that he possessed were like none other. He served the Most High God, and when observing what he didn't have instead of what he did have, he became obsessed with rising to the place of the one he served. Discontent, to say the very least, but self-absorbed, no doubt. He says in his heart, I want what I want. I will ascend. I will exalt myself. I will sit. I will ascend and be like the Most High. I suppose there are many responses to that, but certainly as born-again believers, we'd probably look at him in that occasion and think, what was he thinking? What was that being's problem? I mean, honestly, outside of being God himself, he had it all. We know what took place was self-absorption that ended in self-destruction. A simple but most important truth needed to be grasped, and this is it. There's only one God, and Lucifer wasn't him. Lucifer saw the one and only high and lofty one being praised for who he was every moment of his existence, and yet he never grasped the truth or the reality of what he saw. What does that have to do with our hearing? I personally think it has a lot to do with it. You and I are just like Lucifer in so many ways. No, we're not angelic beings, and that includes your grandchildren. We're extremely interested in ourselves. We overdose on our feelings and desires. And I'm not condemning us, because the hope that we have is God taking residence up in us and changing us from the inside out. But it takes very little observation of the world in which we live to see them destroying themselves all in the name of what they want in spite of what God has said. And just to try to put it in reality to us, for a fair question, I think, to ask ourselves is, what is our prayers mostly centered about? I'm not even suggesting or insinuating that we don't pray for other people. As pastors, we're almost, please don't misinterpret what I'm saying, obligated to. It comes with a territory. But if you were to take away my prayers that centered around me or mine or my household or those things that directly affect me, it's not much left. And this brings me to the point of the sermon. Proverbs, therefore the Bible, therefore God has said, a wise man will hear, and he will hear and will increase in learning. The word hear means to perceive with attention or interest. In other words, to really listen, to pay attention to. And it means to the point of yielding to what you've heard. How many times in Scripture are we exhorted to listen, to take heed, to hear, to give ear to give attention to? When the children of Israel wouldn't listen, they were referred to as stiff-necked. They were stubborn. Why? Because they wouldn't listen to what God had to say. They wouldn't listen because they were consumed with their own lust, with their own ways, with their own thoughts, with their own conclusions. And because they were so full of themselves, they weren't wise enough to hear what God had to say. I really believe, and Scripture confirms the inclination, if they would have only listened, if they would only listen to what God had to say, they could have seen and understood what the Lord was saying and made much better decisions and lived much better lives if they've only listened. And it all started with getting over themselves and listening to someone else. We hear and use the phrase, leaders are readers. And I suppose not all readers are leaders, but most good leaders are readers. Do you know why I think one reason is that a good leader, is usually a reader? It's because they've taken the time to listen to someone else and stretch their minds beyond themselves. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. If all we have is ourselves, and that becomes our starting point and our ending point, we're living extremely small lives, much smaller than God intended us to live. We need to stop listening to ourselves. Because I'm telling you, I don't know, maybe you're different than I am, but I can convince myself of almost anything. I can justify just about everything if you give me long enough. One of the greatest problems in our lives is we don't listen. We don't hear. My son, receive my words. My son, forget not my law. My son, hear my instructions. Trust the Lord. That means that you've placed your confidence in him. You've placed your confidence in him because you have at the very least heard what he had to say. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you don't hear, there's no faith according to the Bible. I think it's illustrated all throughout the Bible. Rehoboam was made king after his father passed away, and the people of Israel had come to him and asked that he lighten the yoke a bit. He said, your father's hand was a little bit heavy, and boy, if you'd lighten it just a little bit, we would follow you. We would serve you all the days of our life. And he calls the older men to come before him, those that had stood before his father, and inquires of them. And they give him an opinion. And it's interesting that their response is, I think what the people are saying is a good idea. I think if you'll listen to them, if you'll listen to us, I think it's going to turn out well for you. We know the story. He then inquires of the young men that had grown up with him, and their response was to make the load heavier. You show them who's king. You show them that now you're the boss. I don't know how you read this account, and I'm not saying that I understand every nuance, but I don't think he had any intention of listening to the older men. I think he had already had something in his mind, and the young men said what he wanted to hear. You and I are on a dangerous path if we're only going to hear the voices that say what we want to hear. Rehoboam should have listened to the older men that had been around, that had some experience, that had some understanding, even though it wasn't what he wanted to hear. He should have listened. Peter had experienced quite the ride in his spiritual journey thus far with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Peter was loud, and he was a little obnoxious, and he was zealous, and he was very stubborn. But in his zealousness, he had experienced some things that not every disciple was able to experience. No other disciple walked on water. Only three were invited to the Mount of Transfiguration. Only three were invited to the prayer meeting in the garden. Pretty unique experiences. Though his zeal afforded him opportunities, his stubbornness cost him. It was Peter that declared Jesus to be the Son of God and then was commended by Jesus that God had revealed that to him. And the reason that God had revealed something to him and he knew it is because he learned something because he listened. He paid attention to what was being said. And immediately following this, he shows himself his self-absorption and his next response. Jesus is talking. Peter isn't listening. Jesus begins to inform the disciples of his sufferings, and Peter, who wasn't listening at the time, jumps in to rescue and says that that would never happen, Jesus. And Jesus' response is, get thee behind me, Satan. How humiliating to go from being lifted up and exalted to being humbled. And the difference between the two scenarios is he listened one time, the other time he wasn't paying attention. We cease to learn when we stop listening. Later, Peter's warned about what he was going to do in denying Jesus. He didn't listen to a word that Jesus said, and his response is, if the whole world denies you, I never will. I would die for you. You've got to know that. And yet he denies Jesus three times just a few hours later. That failure could have been avoided if Peter would have listened. He wouldn't hear Jesus' voice because he was so full of his own ideas. He was full of his own zeal. Proverbs chapter 5, I'm not going to read it, but if you were to go down through there, it instructs us to pay attention, to plea, hear what he has to say. And if you will hear what the word of God has to say, if you'll pay attention to what God says, then your life will be spared from tragedy. There are women out there, he says, that you need to be aware of. Pay attention to me. And if we listen, we could avoid destructive activities in our life. If we ignore them, if we think that we've got it, if we think we don't need it, if we're full of our own ideas and self-absorbed, I'm telling you, we're headed for failure. It's all through the Bible. Acts chapter 16. Paul was going about preaching and teaching and had a desire to go to certain cities. And we know the account. He had a good desire. I even think it was somewhat of a godly desire. I mean, he wanted to reach people with the gospel and knew these places had great needs. But as he tried to make his way to Asia, the Holy Ghost wouldn't let him go. And they proceeded again and tried to go to Bithynia, and yet the Lord wouldn't let him go. And the Lord gave him a vision of a man in Macedonia standing up and crying for help. And Paul went, and God did miraculous things in Philippi and in other places. But Paul was a part of the greatest blessings of God because he listened to what God said. Not every desire we have is wrong, but that isn't the question, is it? The question is, what is God saying? Where is God leading? What does God want? What does God have to say about this? It's not that we have bad ideas. It's just that God's ideas are much better than ours. Amen. The greatest amount of blessing, Paul, and the greatest amount of protection from failure, Peter, and the greatest amount of success, Rehoboam, lies in the God of our salvation. Amen. We can't just listen to those that say what we want to hear. We can't be so full of ourselves that we can't hear what God is saying. We need to stop doing what we want to do and listen to what God has instructed us to do. It's that simple. How can two people listen to the same sermon? How in the world do they hear the same sermon? It's the same preacher. It's the same text. It's the same Bible. It's the same church setting. And come out with different opinions. It's a different set of ears. How can our president sign an executive order on immigration and it be interpreted two ways? And those interpretations are universes apart. Not that we have to agree on every dot and tittle, but someone isn't listening. Someone is interpreting what is being said with what they want to hear or are convinced of in their own minds already. We'd look at them in politics and declare that to be incredibly foolish and unwise, and instruct them that they need to read the law that was written and listen to what it actually says so they can understand it before they come to a conclusion. Sounds like pretty good advice. If you ask me, when it comes to scripture, I know you know this. I know who I'm talking to, but it doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't matter what your desires are. It doesn't matter what you already think in your mind. I'm sorry, it doesn't even matter what your experiences are. It doesn't matter how you feel at the moment. It matters what God says. Amen. Amen. How often do we plead with our children to listen to us? If they would just listen. But oh my goodness, my six-year-old thinks she knows everything. She thinks she's got the world by the tail. And if dad would just pay attention to me, then I could teach him a thing or two. It's ridiculous. That lands her in the bedroom, over the bed. But they're already preparing their response as if we're instructing because they're so convinced of themselves. In other words, as we're instructing them in, they're already processing, oh yeah, here it comes. I'll tell dad. I'll fix this. Oh, they never do listen. How many marriages could be repaired fairly quickly if, as spouses, we would just learn to listen to what's being said? I know many times my wife wants to talk to me about something, and as she speaks, I'm already resolving the issue at hand in my mind. Aaron, the problem solver. Come to me, sweetheart. I will fix all your problems. And as she speaks, I'm not listening to a word she says because I'm already solving the problem. And I've had to learn that she doesn't want her problem solved sometimes. She just wanted somebody to listen. Amen. 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and she chose me. And I'm so full of my own self and so full of my own answers that I don't even listen to what she has to say. We'll never learn until we listen. Sometimes we want to have a great amount of influence by sharing with others what we know. We might have more influence if we would learn to listen to others first. Because if you think about it, very few people in the world do listen. And that in itself could set you apart. Not only may that be what they need, but you might find yourself learning something. Proverbs 1, 5, and 6, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Understand a proverb, the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. All the effects start with the cause of hearing. A wise man will hear. So we need to get over ourselves and hear. You know, God in His infinite wisdom gave each one of us two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, one tongue, and many teeth to bite that tongue when necessary. So I begin to think, you know, I like to talk to people who will listen. And I just wonder if that's the case with God. Isaiah 66, for all these things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Verse 5, hear the word of the Lord, ye trembleth at his word. I just wonder, as it's already been stated in the last hour, how many times God has so much to say. I mean, if you think you've exhausted this book, that is foolish. I mean, if you've been in the ministry so many years and you think you've got to the place where you're the grand master teacher and not the learner, something's wrong with the picture.
That's right.
Because the Bible says a wise man will hear. I was with my family at Christmas, and I want to paint the picture and so you'll understand the struggle and what the Lord did in my heart. Philosophical questions came up one afternoon, and I have an older sister and a younger brother, and I love them dearly, and I'm thankful for them, and both of them are in full-time service. However, the ministry that we're involved in and the ministry both of them are involved in are, man, they couldn't be further apart. I mean, they're worlds apart. And so as the philosophical questions came up, I'm just being honest. I was ready. I have an answer. And I approached the conversation with some confidence because I believe what we do is right. So, and I, in that confidence, I think there was some arrogance because I really didn't believe what they would have to say would have any merit. Because in my humble opinion, they're just so far off. So as I made my arguments, which were biblically sound, the Lord smote my heart about listening to what they were saying.
Amen.
And though I don't believe what they do or how they do it, I could never go down that path. I saw a desire for souls to be saved that, quite frankly, I don't have.
Yeah. Right. That's good.
Now, I'm not saying go to the liberal and listen to them and learn something. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying when the occasion arises, don't be so full of yourself that you couldn't learn from somebody that may do something a little bit different.
That's right. Amen.
Because the Bible still says a wise man will hear. I'm not suggesting that I'm wise, but I am testifying that I listened that day to people that are universes apart, and I learned something.
Amen. Amen.
The theme of this meeting is he hath done all things well, and so he has. Great theme. No doubt God is good, and everything he's done has been done well. Let me ask you a question. If all that God has done is so well, why are we not listening more intently? If he's as good as you say he is, If he's as wise as you proclaim that he is, if everything that he's done with his hands and everything that he's written in his book is as good and profound as we all proclaim it to be, then why are we not listening more intently? I think part of the reason is we must not be wise. And the reason we're not wise is I think we're too full of ourselves. At some point in time, to be wise, you got to be full of him. And to be full of him, you're going to have to listen. And that's what needs to be done.